tonight to the book of Luke, the 18th chapter. St. Luke's Gospel, the 18th chapter. Jesus was speaking to the disciples and He gave them a parable of the judge, a judge that was unjust. I'm going to read from the first verse, Luke chapter 18. And He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. Shall not God avenge His own elect, which cry day and night unto Him, though He bear long with them? I tell you that He will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall He find faith on the earth? Something that's interesting while you got your Bibles open. In the this parable is placed in a position in the Bible. The last verse of the 17th chapter talks about the end of the tribulation and the Lord's return. And then when you come to the last verse that I just read in the 18th chapter, the 8th verse, the parable ends with a verse once again speaking of the Lord's return. Now, I'm not going to preach on the return of the Lord tonight, but maybe even the sign that God gave Brother Lou a few, on his way to church tonight, and this very thought here about and the Lord's return and the sun they are seeing in the cloud, maybe the Lord is trying to show us it's going to be soon. And I don't know when it's coming, but it's going to return. Hallelujah. Then I thought, although Christ was giving this parable some 2,000 years ago, it's relevant to you and me tonight, for every one of us, and it reveals the importance for earnest prayer in these last days. And in that first verse it said, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Since the Lord is soon to return, whatever you do, stay prayed up. Don't grow weary in well-doing. Now let me begin by saying this. We are living in a fast-paced world. The pressures of our day is so much different than my parents' day. And my grandparents' day seemed like the pressures and the pace everyone is going. And I don't know whether we're getting anything accomplished by going or not, but we're going and doing. But I thought with all this going on in the world and the pressures that we're facing out there in our world tonight, some things are happening that are not pleasing to God. Some have compromised their faith and some have gone along to get along. Some have joined the forces of the world and thrown up their hands in despair and thought that they couldn't make it, and so they dropped out of the race. I want everyone to understand tonight, God says, let men always pray and not to faint. Now, I'll leave this with you. You can faint if you don't pray. And if you pray like we ought to pray, we will not faint. You agree with that? Amen, amen. Such times as these, we ought to keep praying and keep our trust in the Lord. Not only tonight am I thankful for the privilege of prayer, and we are privileged tonight to be able to pray the freedoms we have. I'm not only thankful for the privilege of prayer, but I thank God for His promise to answer when we pray. There are three scriptures that I would like to bring to our attention, and one of them stands out in my mind, one of the greatest scriptures in the Bible. The Bible says, Jesus, or God says, call unto me. What's the next words? And I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not. Call unto me. What does He say? Pray. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things. In John 16, He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, He will give it you. Now like that, that's a promise not of the abundant life tabernacle and not of the pastor and not of the church board. God says, Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. In the fourth chapter of Hebrews, he said, let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Listen closely tonight. He is not only saying, come unto me. He said, if you come, come boldly. Come, we are His people. And this is important tonight, come boldly. So we don't come in our own power. We don't come in our own merits. We don't come in our own goodness. We come tonight because we are the redeemed of the Lord. We come tonight because we've been saved by grace. We come tonight because we've been kept by the power of the Almighty God. We started on this journey way back down to somewhere, but we're keeping on running. We come tonight because we are the children of the Most High. My name is written down. Hallelujah. I was born in Sampson County, and they have a record of my birth in Sampson County, North Carolina. But they've got a record of my new birth in the glory world. Hallelujah. My name is written down. Brother, that's something to be glad about. Come boldly to the throne of grace. Come on in. You're my child. You remember? Some of you are too young, but do you remember when President Kennedy was our president and there was a picture of little whatever his son's name was? John John. Picture of him under the desk in the Oval Office. I thought about J. Lloyd Williams preaching one time, and he said, I was spending time in my study preparing sermon after sermon after sermon, and my little son came. And the door, I told him, son, I don't have time now. And after a while, he said, I saw a little hand coming under the door, just sticking his fingers under the door, like as if he'd just like to get close to his daddy. Yeah. Listen closely tonight. Our God is not so busy. But what he says, come boldly. Come right on in. Hallelujah. My daddy, anytime we had a need, now we didn't have a lot of money, but anytime we have a need, I was not afraid to ask my daddy, would he do this? Would he fix our bicycle? How would he do this for us? We could not do it ourselves. Daddy, will you fix the lawnmower? It's broken up, and we cannot cut the grass and make money as boys. Will you fix the lawnmower? I was not ashamed to go to my daddy. I couldn't fix it, and my daddy could. I've got a Heavenly Father tonight who said, come on in. Come boldly to the throne of grace. You're my child. You've been redeemed. Jesus paid the price for your sins. Hallelujah. You've been forgiven. We are the children of the Most High God. Hallelujah. And we can come to Him boldly. We're not intimidated. Apostle Paul said, these end time conditions will be perilous. And we're living, we know, we find it to be true. We're living in that time. But there's two things I want you to remember. Our God has all power. And our God is still in control. Amen, amen. Let me say that again. He has all power. How much power does the enemy have? None. The only thing the devil can do is what God allows him to do. Man, let that sink in. That's amazing. Our God is all powerful and He is still in control. I've read in the Bible that He sits upon the circle of the earth. I've read that Moab is His footstool. I found in the book of Isaiah, and I am reading it and now going through the Bible, how that God placed the stars in the heavens and He knows them all by name. He scooped out the oceans in the palm of His hand and put the mountains in the balances and weighed them out. And He knows the hair we have on the head. He's got them all numbered. Brother, if He knows all that, don't you know He loves us? Thank God, thank God, thank God. If we will pray, if we will be faithful to pray, not only will He direct our steps, I promise you our God will go with us. Not only will He know the needs that we have, our God will supply our needs. Amen. He will see to it that we'll serve Him in prayer. He will see to it that we'll cross the finish line with victory. I'm not interested in just crossing the line. I'm not interested in backing in. I'm going to cross the finish line shouting the high praises of God because I'm the redeemed tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah. This is the best life in the world. I've lived the other side. This is the best life in the world. Satan has nothing to compare with what God has done in our lives. And I say, thank the Lord. Now I want you to notice tonight something maybe that you have never heard before, maybe you have. But I read, and the man has written a book with everybody's name in the Bible in a book. There are 3,092 people listed by name in the Bible. You thought there was probably more than that in Chronicles. And I've read the Bible through on several occasions. I want to make a statement. I have never yet found one person in this Bible that gave up, that lost out, that turned their back on God, that was a praying believer. Not one prayer warrior went back. Not one prayer person holding on to God, praying to God, believing God, went back. You can mark it down. Praying Christians don't faint. They don't give up. They keep on walking. Hallelujah. We're exhorted to be like this widow. That's why Jesus gave the parable. First of all, she was persistent. She went to the judge with her petition. And she said to the judge, I've got something I want you to do for me. But the judge was unjust. He cared nothing for the people. He didn't fear God. He didn't fear man. He thought only of himself. But it's important that we remember tonight that our God is not like this judge. Our God cares. Our God is concerned about everything that comes our way. Our God loves us more than we can imagine. Our God is just. And when we go to Him, our God is concerned about everything that comes to us. Some might feel like that justice has not been done. That God has not taken care of you like you thought He should at a certain time. I want everyone to understand tonight, God is a good God. I imagine in my ministry, I've probably said that 10,000 times. If I have, I'm going to make it 10,001. He's a good God. Hallelujah. Our God is mindful of us. He cares. And although the unjust judge in this parable cared nothing about God and nothing about the people, nothing about their feelings. All that he wanted was himself, his own will. Our God is not like that. He's got His eyes on you and me. What a good God. I thought about myself. I mentioned as they were going out the door this morning, and I kid a lot with Sister Mary Jane being from Bull Island. And I mentioned something because Jay's son was here, and I mentioned about Mary Jane being from Bull Island. She said, but I know where you're from too. Fox Hill. And Bull Island was a lot larger than Fox Hill. But I thought tonight I might not be from a very important place, but I'm going to a important place. I'm going somewhere. Hallelujah. And the Bible said, pray. Always to pray and not to faint is what Jesus said. As he began the parable, we might question, as David did, why do the ungodly prosper? Why do they seem like go through life without any problems? And the righteous and the godly are afflicted, and the sick, and they have hardships, a losing job, or going through a hard time. I want you to know, folks, that God has His mind or His eyes on you, and one of these days it's going to all pan out. Don't ever feel like you're missing out. If you've got God, you're not missing out. Hallelujah. I don't have the answers to everything, but I do know one thing. God is not unjust, and He's not unfair, and He does all things well. Everything. He's always true to His promises. Listen to the widow's request. She said to the judge, will you avenge me of my adversary? Will you avenge me of my adversary? Peter said, as Christians, you and I have an adversary. It's the devil. And is out to destroy everything that is good. And I've mentioned this in sermons before, but I want to go through the list of some things again. The devil will try to break up a marriage between a man and his wife. The devil will try to cause division in the family. The devil will try to steal your children away from their Christian upbringing. The devil will try to bring confusion on the job and in the classroom or wherever you are. He'll do anything to stir up trouble. But I thank God tonight for two verses that have stood out in my heart and my mind. The Bible says, greater is he that's within you than he that's within the world. And in the 8th chapter of Romans, the Bible says, if God be for us, who can be against us? Let me just tell you something tonight. I am glad that I'm on the side with God. If God is for me, who can be against us? Now, I've mentioned the Tappan brothers and the Royal brothers in Fox Hill and the Jones boys. There were four Royal boys and there were four Jones boys growing up, and I think there was four, five, or six Tappan boys. And we played a lot together, and then we would get into, you know, arguments. We didn't go to Fifth City because, unless we had some boxing gloves, and we didn't do that but once or twice, but we would start off angry with each other and end up wrestling, see who could throw somebody down and hold them down. You didn't do that maybe, but we did. Fox Hill. Sometimes, and this happened to me, I was doing something that day and two boys, both of them older than me and larger than me, jumped me. And they were going to humiliate me right on the street, on the main thoroughfare. Well, that was the only one. Fox Hill, the main drag. Right there on the road, right there. And I was fighting them off as best I could. And I thought, if my brothers were here, you wouldn't do this. But my brothers weren't there. But the devil has done the same thing to me. He's tried to humiliate me. He's tried to tear me down and destroy me. But I don't have to look for brother, nor Royce, nor Gene. I look around and my older brother, the Lord Jesus, is there. Yes, he is. Hallelujah. And if Jesus is there, brother, everything's going to be all right. If God be for us, who can be against us? Thank God, thank God. What a promise we have in the Bible. Greater is he that's within us than he that's within the world. And Jesus said in the 7th verse of this parable, shall not God avenge his own elect? And I say, amen. Our God will come to our rescue. He will be there to help us out when Satan is trying to tear us down and to pull us down. Our God will be there to lift us up. Underneath shall be the everlasting arm. Have you ever felt the Lord's arms just lifting you up? Have you ever felt the Lord take you by the hand and just say, go with me, amen, brother, that's living. Hallelujah. My God, help us to be like the widow woman. She said to the judge, avenge me of my adversary. She was persistent. She refused to give up. She had faith that somehow she would get the answer. She kept coming back and coming back and coming back, even when it seemed as if the judge was not caring or hearing. And finally the judge granted her request. And the Bible is telling me if she kept coming back, and finally the judge gave in and gave to her the request that she asked and avenge her of her adversary. Don't you know if we'll keep coming to our God, how God will see to it that He'll take care of us. Some people have the mistaken idea that if you pray one time about something, you don't need to pray a second time. Just have faith to believe down the road somewhere's going to happen. The Bible says, knock and keep on knocking. The tense of that verb is not just knock one time and walk away. Knock and keep on knocking. Or ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking. Go back to the altar. Get back to your prayer closet. Keep on praying. God hears and God answers. Pray and not faint. Keep on praying. Last Sunday night, I don't know whether anybody else was blessed like I was. But I left with a determination, as we mentioned about fasting and praying. And I thought this in my heart, and I thought it again tonight while I was here praying before service. If revival in the Bundy Light Tabernacle is up to me, will we have revival? If the revival is up to you, will we have revival? If your family having revival is up to you praying, will your family have revival? God help us tonight when Jesus said in the parable, pray and don't faint. Don't grow weary in well-doing. What's the rest of that verse? For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. How many have fainted along the wayside? But get your eyes set on the goal. Make up your mind. Hallelujah. You're going all the way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Be faithful to pray. Be faithful to fast and pray. And God is merciful. He's just. And He will surely avenge us of our adversary. And then finally, let me leave something with you tonight from that 8th verse. Jesus asked a question. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, will He find faith on the earth? Then I want you to notice, the parable is over. And there's no answer. The Lord didn't give an answer. I tell you that He will avenge them speedily, speaking about the judge. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall He find faith on the earth? And then there is no answer. And so I will try my best in the closing moments, in the last days of indifference and unconcern and compromise and the rest. Will we be persistent in praying? Will we keep on asking? Will we keep on seeking? Will we keep on knocking? Brother Lou, I love you. This church loves you. I don't know how the rest felt, but when you gave the prayer request this morning about the one that came by and I think you said had a meal with you, ate with you and your wife, and was talking about the Bible, something struck a chord in my heart. You prayed and prayed and prayed for your children. Even tonight you've given a testimony about that this was so unusual. He's heard the Bible somewhere and he's been talking now about the Bible. And although maybe you don't agree with everything that he has, his ideas, yet there's some things you know that he's reading about the Bible. Let's believe together tonight, Brother Lou, that God has got His foot in the door. Let's believe together tonight that God is working. That somehow out of this there's going to be another child and another child, another one of your children or somebody else along the line is going to come to know God. Folks, I believe tonight that it's God's desire and God's perfect will to save our children. Don't give up. Keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. Hallelujah. 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 I've told you the story of a man called George Muller that had a friend and he talked to his friend about the Lord, and his friend was unsaved. But George Muller was a godly man. He served the Lord and built orphanages in England, in Bristol, England. And he had over thousands at times, over 1,000 children that he took care of. And the Bible, then the story goes that when George Muller came down to die, a man that he had known for 51 years prayed for him, prayed for him, prayed for him, and still he was unsaved. And at George Muller's funeral, that man came to the funeral and stood by the casket of George Muller, mentioning about if there was ever a man that loved God, ever a friend that I ever had, there was a man that prayed for me. I don't know the rest of the story, whether he turned his life over to God or not. But I know this. George Muller had a testimony. For 51 years he prayed for that man. 51 years he didn't give up. And I thought sometimes if something doesn't happen quickly, we just go somewhere else. We're too quick, and I say this all the time for me. I think sometimes we're too quick to shake the dust off of our feet and go on to someone else. And I know it talks about casting pearls before swine. After a while, if people won't hear, but listen closely, whatever you do, don't give up on praying. Don't give up on praying. Every time you get on your face before God, listen closely. He's bending an ear in the glory world and is listening to what you have to say. And my Bible says that every prayer you send up, He is bottling them up in this bottle of prayers in the glory world. Keep this in mind. God hears every prayer and He's got them all yonder in the glory world. You might feel like, Brother Jones, nothing is happening. God has a record of it all. Hallelujah. Don't give up. Come boldly to the throne of grace. Hold on to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the Bible said that the judge came to her rescue and avenged her of her adversaries. And I'm going to run down the list tonight. If we would pray faithfully like David and Daniel did, if we would be fervent in our praying like Elijah was, then not only will we be faithful to pray, but I believe this tonight, we will be faithful to pray to believe. It's not only praying, but believing when we pray. I'm going to run through a few illustrations and I'm going to close. God, maybe this is just for me. I'm going to give some examples. Jesus said to Jairus, who that had come to him with a need, he said, "Sir, my daughter is on the deathbed. Will you come and heal her? I believe in healing. I believe you're the answer. Will you come and heal her?" Jesus, in essence, says, "I will." And he went with him. And they'd gone only a little way, and someone come by and stopped Jairus and said, "There's no need to bother him any longer. Your daughter is dead." Jesus heard what the messenger said, and he says, "Be not afraid, only believe." And you know the story. How that she, that very day, was raised from the dead. Let me leave this with you tonight and I'll go on. Church, it's not too late for revival. Jairus' daughter was dead. Looked like there was no hope. Jesus said, "Only believe." She was raised from the dead. There is hope for revival. A father brought his son till the Lord, and his son had an evil spirit, possessed with an evil spirit, came for healing. And Jesus said, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." He said, "Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief." And speaking to the disciples, Jesus said, "Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye shall desire when you pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them." Believe God and believe His Word. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Elijah prayed for rain after he had had the meeting on Mount Carmel. And the Bible tells me it's been 42 long months with no rain. It's been a long dry spell. There's a famine in the land. And he prayed for rain and God sent a downpour. He believed God. He believed God. Listen closely. If God can send rain after 42 months of no rain, God can send the rain of the Holy Ghost in the last hour. If God's people will pray and seek the face of the Almighty. I believe it. I believe it. I believe it. Elijah prayed. Peter prayed for a woman by the name of Dorcas. That was a member of the woman's auxiliary of the Pentecostal church in Joppa. And the Bible tells me when he said he sent for her, Peter, she had died. And he went in the room where her body was lying. And he prayed for Dorcas. And she was raised from the dead. Thank God. Our God is good and He's big. And He's able to restore life. Hezekiah prayed for help during the time of a battle. God answered his prayer. The angel was sent by God to come to fight the battle against the enemy. And one night, one angel wiped out 185,000 enemy soldiers. That's the kind of God I want to be on His side. One angel, one night, wiped out 185,000 of the enemy. If God would do that against the enemy, don't you know He'll do it against Satan for us? Hallelujah, hallelujah. You ought always to pray and not to faint. Jesus said to you and to me, always pray. And finally, we come to the book of Acts. Although there's a young church has just had its beginning not long before. God had been good. God was saving the lost, and now there's terrible persecution. Some of the leaders have been imprisoned. And God has said for them to share the gospel message with the peoples of the world. And now they're running into persecution. They prayed for boldness, that they might be empowered to take the gospel to all the world. Now I want you to listen, and this is a scripture that we've read, and Thomas mentioned and some of the others. I'm going to close with this tonight. And after they'd come out of jail, when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together.
And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the Word of God with boldness. Who was there? So many that was in the upper room just a few weeks before. Filled with the Holy Ghost. And now, he says, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake with the Word of God with boldness. And the 33rd verse says, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was there upon them all. What he's saying, Brother Jones, when they prayed and God anointed afresh, the Holy Ghost began to move. And they were bold to go out. They'd come out of jail. But they said, if I have to go back to jail, I'm going to share the Word of God. Whatever the cost. We're going to serve God. What did the choir sing a while ago? What was that verse? How does it go? Whatever the cost, was that part of it, the words in the course? If it wasn't this tonight, it might have been this morning. Whatever it might cost me. That was it. Whatever it might cost me. Listen closely. And I close tonight, church. In the beginning of this parable, Jesus said, men ought always to pray and not to faint. The church that will be ready for the rapture will be the church that's praying. The family that will be ready for heaven will be the family that prays. The individual that hears the sound of the trumpet will be the individual that prays. You might not pray like Brother Tom. You might not pray like Brother Eddie or anyone else in the church. Listen closely. That is not in the Bible. God wants you to pray. God help us tonight. Maybe it be good. So many are not well and so many are out. Maybe it be good for us just to come to pray for revival. Just join together and pray for revival. Pray. And not only that, when we leave this altar tonight, have a determination. Have a determination. Whether you fast or not, that's between you and God. But have a determination. There's one thing I'm going to do. I'm going to pray. I am going to pray. D.L. Moody got up every morning, and I'm not saying that everybody has to do this, and I haven't done it myself. He got up every morning, and before he faced anyone out yonder, he prayed 2 hours. One morning, he was to catch the train at 5 o'clock, or 6 early. And they asked him, what are you going to do? He said, I'll have to get up 2 hours earlier than I always do. I need to pray before I face. There's a man that wrote some of the best books in our library. His name is Ravenhill. That man was a prayer warrior. He wrote books and prayed. Oftentimes, Ravenhill prayed 10 hours a day. I realize that is not for everyone. Everybody will not be able to do that. But I know one thing. God, if we'll pray, God will do something in our lives. You believe that? Keep this with you tonight, and we're going to stand, not even sing a chorus. Men ought always to pray and not faint.